Good day, everybody. I'm David Irvin. I'm a leadership development specialist and a best-selling author, and we want to welcome you to the Leaders Navigator podcast. The premise is simple. The podcast will provide you with insights for living and leading the authentic way so that you will be better equipped to amplify your impact as a difference maker in any area in your life. We'll cover a variety of topics related to authenticity and what it means to bring humanity into the world. What's uniquely special is that I'm doing this podcast together with my daughter, Haley. I'm very excited about this opportunity to work jointly on this project that we are both so passionate about. Welcome, Haley, to another episode.
Here we go. Recording this on Good Friday, if you're an Easter celebrator, or if not, a 4-day weekend full of chocolate, which I know is not really relevant to you at all, though, Dad, but, you know, that's okay.
Well, it is good to be here with you and to stop and reflect. We were reflecting before we turned the recording on about what we might cover today. Now, we have a significant event coming up this next week, you and I. We are flying to Mexico to be a part of your young sister's wedding.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that as we have this week coming up ahead of us?
Oh, I'm so excited. Like they've been engaged for a year and a half. They've been planning this wedding for a long time. And I think too, like even, you know, the fact that it's a destination wedding, I think they initially thought that that was going to be so much easier than a wedding in, you know, where she lives and things like that. But, you know, it's turned out to be kind of just all of these like organizational things and navigating family and everything like that. So, you know, it's been a long time coming and it's exciting. And it's, you know, my youngest sister, the little baby, is getting married, and your youngest daughter out of the three of us getting married. How do you feel about that, Dad?
Well, yes, this is the last wedding. Hopefully the last wedding. We never know where our journeys take us in life.
The last first wedding, we'll say that.
The last first wedding. Let's hope it's the last wedding. You know, it warms my heart. And maybe we just want to spend some time talking about this, being present to this experience as a father and as a sister. But as a father, to see your daughters find someone who loves them means a great deal to me. You know, we're all on our own journey. I was told once, and I probably said this in this podcast before, but I was given some advice by one of my spiritual directors when you guys were teenagers, and I was pulling my hair out. And I'll tell you, when you're raising teenagers, they will surface every bit of inadequacy that you can muster and every bit of sense of failure. And you wonder, my life is completely useless, because you do not ever have a formula for how to handle teenagers. But my mentor said that.
I was going to say, not me, though. I was probably perfect, the exemplary child. It was probably all my younger sister, right? For sure. Yes.
Yes, we all have skewed memories.
Sorry. Anyways, I digress. Your spiritual leader.
My spiritual director advised me that your kids have their own journey, mm-hmm. their own path. And the best you can do is walk beside them. That your path is not their path, but what you can do is walk their path beside them with a great deal of love and a great deal of support. So it warms my heart and gives me a deep sense of satisfaction to know that my daughters right now are in relationships with people who love them, with people who support them, and people who respect them. And I know that they are well loved, and that they have found their path in life. Each of you have found your own career path, have found your thing. And it warms my heart to see that happening. It warms my heart to see you in the next few months here bringing a grandchild into our lives. But to stay on topic, I'm deeply heartened to be a part of this ceremony. And Sean and Chandra are doing it their way. They're not doing it anybody else's way. They're doing it in a way that's right for them. And that is extremely heartening to me.
What would you be able, like, and I know you're, you know, you have those, that beautiful words of advice from, you know, your spiritual mentor, which I'm going to borrow and tell to a parent I was working with this week who was struggling between how to push and also pull back and trust their child going through moments of like, I, you know, figuring out who they are and what they're good at. And, you know, this parent was struggling to, you know how much challenging, like, you know, how much to really step in and direct this child, knowing this kid has so much genuine potential. I know every parent thinks that their kid has potential, but this student genuinely has potential that there's something blocking them in their way to really just achieving that. And so this parent came to me and asked, you know, how do I just sort of trust and, you know, hands up and let this child do what they need to do? And how much do I actually need to step in and push? And so I really like those words that, you know, walking beside them. So I'm going to send those on to her. But, you know, you now knowing where, you know, me and my two sisters are in life, if you could go back to when we were teenagers, and I know we weren't all teenagers at the same time, but do you have like, you know, what would that experience be like if you could go back knowing where we are now? What would you say to the father of, you know, teenagers? Would you have any advice for him at that moment when, you know, you were at your wit's end pulling your hair out as, you know, you're telling me to stop swearing or telling Chandra to, you know, stop sneaking out to go to a party or whatever other, like, you know, notice how I ranked the severity there. I noticed, you know, I just dropped some cuss words. I didn't sneak out, Father. I was perfect. I was angelic. Anyways, you know, when, you know, what words of advice would you have for the father of teenagers that you were, you know, 10, 15 years ago?
Well, what I would say is you have to maintain perspective on the big picture. So a life is not the snapshot of how we are as a teenager. A life is a whole book. And we have to look at our life through the lens of a whole book. And this is just one chapter in our kid's life. It feels like the whole story, but it's just one chapter. And so trust the process, trust that this too shall pass, that kids will grow out of this stuff, that they will find their own way and relax with it. Now, that is extremely easy to say, but that's the voice of reason that we need to keep supporting parents as they go through their journey with teenagers. That, and set good boundaries, adhere to those boundaries, and then trust the process and let go. Because your children, you know, I'll tell you this. About 100 or so years ago, there was a philosopher named Gehil Gibran who offered in the book, The Prophet, it's a statement of his philosophy on several topics. And one of the topics is speak to us on children. And he said, children are not your children, speaking to parents. They are life's longing for itself. They come through you, but they're not from you. You may give them your love, but not their thoughts, for they have their own thoughts, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. So they live in their own world, which you can't really enter into. So take care of yourself as a parent and know that you're not going crazy just because your kids might be living an unmanageable life right now and might be doing something really crazy. We just never know. All kids have potential, but I think what happens is that parents have a, at least I did, we have a picture of a standard of what a good kid is. And it might mean that my kid goes to university, or it might mean that my kid goes to university at a particular university. And that we have a picture of what it means that for us to say that that child is living their potential. And reality, yes, every kid is a seed of possibility, but parents cannot know what is in store for a child and what their choices will bring and what their lives are meant to be. So I think we really have to examine our expectations. I see this, you know, this sense of, oh, my kid got into a university that they wanted to get into, and so therefore they are successful. Well, this too shall pass. We don't know. Maybe that successful university will one day be. I've seen in my generation, kids got into university. I mean, that was the thing. You had to pick what you wanted to do in high school, and that was going to be your career track. And those same kids that we would call quote unquote successful have a nervous breakdown when they're 40 because they hate their career. And what they're doing is got into a career that they're doing just to please their parents. At the same time, I say to you, I'm heartened because you guys, all three of my daughters, have these spouses that they're in love with and that they're happy with and that they're finding joy with and that feel loved. But you know what? This is a chapter in your life. And I don't know where that this too is going to pass. I don't know where the next chapter is going to be and what that next chapter might need to look like. I have seen parents who go through a child with a drug addiction and say, this is the worst thing. My child is not succeeding. They're not living up their potential. But 10 years down the road, they've gone through a recovery program and they've found a new path, and they're using their pain that they gained from their addiction and from their recovery to change the world by setting up a drug treatment facility. We just don't know these things. And it's so easy to pass judgment on the snapshot today, the chapter today, rather than looking at the large movie, the bigger story. What do you make of all that?
I guess before I jump into what I think about it, my question for you, and I, you know, perhaps we've also discussed this on this podcast before, but I was talking to my principal, my boss, who has a lot of wisdom, and he said, the mark of a successful parent to know that you've done a good job is that you give your kids enough resources. So whether that's financial resources or emotional resources, to be able to access therapy, to unpack all your parenting. He says, that's the mark of a successful parent. And so I wonder, like, for you, knowing that, you know, how can parents feel like satisfaction that, you know, they did the best they could at any point in their child's life, like on the eve of, you know, your youngest daughter's wedding, all the way up to, you know, fighting with teenagers, how can parents feel like they're doing a good job? Cause it really is a job that, you know, you don't get a lot of, you don't get a lot of feedback on, right? It's not like you get a sticker if you're doing a good job. So I guess, like, how can parents find that, you know, sense of satisfaction or success when they're looking at their child at these different phases of their life?
I don't know that there's an answer to that. I don't know that you really ever fully know that you were a good enough parent. However, I answer one simple question. And, you know, it may not be a complicated enough question if you want to really look at this and measure it academically. But I think there's one way you can tell whether you've done a good job as a parent, and that is, do you enjoy your kids? Did you, most days, do you enjoy being in relationship with them? Because I think that speaks a lot. You're not going to enjoy your kids if you have no boundaries. If you completely spoil your kids. Spoiled kids are not enjoyable kids to be around. If you were abusing your kids, you are not going to be enjoying them. If you wrestle with a question, should I support this kid? Does this kid need support, or do they need to be pushed? And you wrestle with that, you're never going to get the answer to that question. But your wrestling is what creates, in my mind, caring parenting. And that is as best we can do. So I say to parents, don't try to be a better parent. Just find a way to enjoy being a parent, whatever that means. Maybe enjoying it means I got to be stricter. I got to have better boundaries here because my kids are walking all over me. Or I need to learn to open my heart and have some compassion and just play more with my kids and respect their choices more and let go more so I'm not carrying their choices, so that I am supporting them to walk on their path. Whatever it takes to enjoy being a parent, I think that's the pathway to being a better parent. We have the wisdom within us. There are too many experts telling parents how to be parents. And frankly, I don't know how to parent your child that's growing inside of you. I don't know how to parent my own parent. Have to look after myself. So these are some of the principles that I operate from. And then I forget them all. And I have a lot of self-doubt.
How for you? Like, I'm thinking about you next week when we're at Chandra's wedding. How are you feeling knowing that, okay, so you have your youngest daughter at the altar, your middle daughter pregnant with your first granddaughter, second grandchild, and your eldest daughter ready to graduate her son, your first grandchild, from high school in just a year. How do you feel knowing that all three of us are going to be there, knowing we're kind of taking this next step on all of our respective lives? And you're this, you know, the patriarch of the family, right? This, you know, with these three daughters, how does that make you feel knowing that we're kind of at this all, it's funny that all three of us are kind of at this, you know, sort of proverbial crossroads at the same time, and we'll all be together next week. How do you feel about that? Not to put some existential, philosophical dread upon you, but how does that make you feel?
Well, as you mentioned that, as you bring it to my focus, to know that my grandson that will be graduating from high school next year, my daughter who's pregnant, my other daughter who's getting married, are all together, it's a little overwhelming. And I don't know how it all came together. There's a power greater than me that's at work here. I feel enormously joyful. Just a bit overwhelmed and not having the ability to articulate that. Maybe what I need to do this week is to find a poem, because poets seem to be able to put words to this better than I can at this moment. But I really appreciate you bringing that into my attention today, with that the enormity of the experience and the enormity of the feeling of that experience. How are you feeling at this moment when you see me struggle with this?
I just love thinking about these kind of things, that it's, you know, we're all kind of, we've all three of us have found success and satisfaction and love in our respective lives. And, you know, the fact that we're able to, you know, come together with, you know, the youngest sister, right, getting married and all of that, right? And I don't know, like, it's just, I think it's, I don't know, like, it's a very, I don't know, it's exciting because it's thinking about, you know, it brings to mind, like, that idea of legacy, right? And I know you and I have talked about a career legacy, but I think for here now, Dad, like, it's, you know, you as the patriarch, the head of the one generation, passing on to the next generation and the one beneath, right? Just sort of passing the proverbial torch, right, of, you know, decision making and wisdom and joy and love and all of these things. You know, it's sort of a proverbial passing on the torch as we embark on these, like, next sort of crossroads, you know. And so I think there's a lot of, I think it's completely logical to feel both, you know, mourning the, you know, the three of us, you know, farting around and, you know, the living room, you know, like playing with puppets and watching Friends. And, you know, as Melissa was, or my oldest sister, watching Austin Powers downstairs, and I would sneak over and watch it over the, like, back of the couch, 'cause I knew I wasn't allowed to watch it. And, you know, like, and Chandra, you know, pushing Chandra around to be in my stupid movies, much to her dismay, and giving her, you know, feedback on needing to be better, even though she didn't really want to be in the movies in the first place. You know, I think, like, you know, all of that has kind of come to this exciting kind of crossroads where we're all kind of embarking on our own adult lives and all of these different paths, but we're still able to come together and in these moments of celebration. And I think that's pretty cool too.
Well, it is. And it is deeply reflecting in this moment about legacy and you know, not everyone has the privilege of being a parent. Some people leave their values in other ways. You know, I guess the old Zen saying that if you want to make a difference in the world, plant a tree, write a book, or leave a child to the world and give that experience. I just know from my own experience, it warms me and is deeply emotional to me to think that maybe I have left some of my values to my kids. I think of your grandma who in her will left to me three things. You know, she left her library and her love for learning. She left her piano and her love for music. And she left her value of wisdom and the seeking of wisdom. And, you know, what would we rather get from our parents? A rich financial inheritance. You know, she died broke. And she really basically spent all of my inheritance, which is what she should have done. And what would we rather leave our children? A rich financial inheritance with no character and values, or character and values with no money? Because with character and values, we can create wealth and much more. And so I hope that it's not the inheritance, financial inheritance, that you will get, but I hope that somehow or other I have planted the seeds of my values, and that I'm certain that your mother has planted the seeds of her values into the hearts of each of you, who will now, you will be extending to your child and to your children. And that's the cycle of life. And there's something that's deeply satisfying, that's the greatest legacy that I can probably leave this world, is what I've left in the hearts of the three of you and your children.
Do you have, it's funny, I was just thinking about this, like I was trying to think about a poem that would fit. And I think, I guess before I get to the poem that I found, but I wonder, like, could you nail, like, and I know this will probably definitely take longer reflection to think about this, but are there like core values, specific values that come to mind that you really hope, like, if nothing else, what character traits and values we, you know, have learned from you, that, you know, if like that you will feel like those are like the key values, the key points that you feel we need to learn?
Yeah, I can already, it's a very good question and will require more reflection than I can possibly respond to adequately in these few minutes. But I can think of a few values that I already see in all of you. The value of service and the value of contribution, of giving in the world, of being a giver rather than a taker. The value of accountability and doing what you say you're going to do, and the value of showing up in the world and being able to be counted on and being reliable, to be a solid person of strong character with integrity and honesty. Those values I see exhibited in all three of you. I those are the main ones that come to my mind at this moment. If you can, and certainly the value of hard work, but I actually think that's not a value that I necessarily, I necessarily want to extend to you to the degree that I had, because my hard work extends to perfectionism, where I work myself so much that I'm never enough. So I think I would say the value of authenticity, of finding your voice in this world and bringing your voice to the world, regardless of what the world thinks. So I see that exhibited in your profession, that you have found your gift of expressing yourself, the gift of performance, the gift of teaching. You have found those gifts and you're bringing that fully to the world. That's who you are. Chandra has found her thing in her work as a law enforcement officer, and even how they're designing this wedding. They're not consumed with consumerism. And it isn't the size of the wedding that matters. And I guess this is another value that I have that I'm glad is being extended, is the value of citizenship rather than consumerism. And that rather than being caught in the culture and what's popular, you know, that statement that you made in high school, that it's more important to be yourself than it is to be popular. Because, you know, being yourself lasts a lifetime. Being popular will die when you finish school. And maybe before that, but you're not consumed by our consumer culture. And, you know, when we gave Chandra a gift, just like when we gave you your wedding gift, she didn't want to take it. She said it wasn't, you know, she didn't want to, you know, it wasn't like she doesn't have a sense of entitlement. You don't have a sense of entitlement. Melissa doesn't have a sense of entitlement that we owe you. You have a sense of gratitude. And these are all characteristics of qualities of a person that I define as people of strong character. And so these are the values that I hope are being instilled in you. And I actually see them coming to fruition, which I'm grateful that I have lived long enough that I can see this happening. My parents weren't fortunate enough to see their values fully come to fruition, because I never really integrated their values until I was in my 40s. You three have integrated them much earlier in life. So it gives me a privilege of seeing how these values have come to be realized.
I know one of your favorite, it was just funny thinking about this finding a poem for all of this. And I think it's funny that I think that, and I, you know, that I think of the poem Invictus that you love so much. And I think it's funny because this is one of those situations where, you know, Invictus doesn't apply at all. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite of where the poem Invictus. So I wonder, Dad, because I know you have this one by memory, could you possibly recite the last little bit of Invictus? And I wonder if it resonates at all with right now, in that it's completely the opposite of what you may be feeling. And I hate to, you know, sort of project on how you're feeling right now, but I just keep thinking about how that poem is such an important poem for feeling like taking ownership over your life and things like that. But also how it's a poem that doesn't work for parenting. Do you have it up in front of you?
Well, I'm going to reflect on it. I'll recite the poem. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. So that's a poem that we can dig deeply into when we are at a particular point in our life, when we need to find strength. That was a poem that inspired Nelson Mandela to get through his darkest moments when he was in prison. And I guess what speaks to me in that poem is this notion that we're the captain of our life, that we don't need to let the world determine our values for us, that we can stand tall in the face of unpopularity, that we are the captain. I'm not sure that we necessarily control the ship, but we do steer it. And we can't determine the storms. But I'm proud to see the three of you be the captain of your own soul. What's your take on that?
Yeah. It's funny because that was one that I know you and I have shared a lot before, in terms of the value of this poem. And, you know, and I think the second half of the poem, if there was one, I think it's about being the captain of your own soul, and that you cannot be the captain of somebody else's soul, you know, and you, like, there are lots of storms that are, you know, you can't control the storms, but you can control the ship. But, you know, I look at, you know, Chandra getting married and doing it her own way and, you know, things like that. And, you know, perhaps, you know, I know a lot of parents, I think, try to be the captain of their own child's life, but they can't be, right? I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. We cannot be the captain of anyone's life. And who was the singer that wrote "I Did It My Way"?
Oh, Paul Anka, wasn't it?
That's a good question. Oh, I don't think it was Paul Anka.
Frank Sinatra performed it initially.
Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way."
I'll see who wrote it.
Did he write it?
Oh, actually, this is interesting. Thank you, Internet. It was actually a translation of a French song that was composed by Jacques Rivaud. So there you go. But Paul Anka wrote the English lyrics of it, and it's unrelated to the actual original French song. And then Frank Sinatra was the first performer.
Oh, interesting. But I love the power in those words. And you guys do it your way. And I think this is a great lesson for parents, that we are just not the captain of anyone's souls. It's a good relationship metaphor as well, that we can't be the captain of anyone's soul, and that we must give people that space to be who they are. And our children, I look at parenting a little bit like gardening. I'm a gardener in my daughter's garden. And I can plant good seeds, I can plant good values, and I can till the ground, and I can cultivate it, and I can weed it. But ultimately, plants have their own life force and their own energy, and I can't control how a plant is going to grow. It's beyond me. So all I have to do is plant good seeds, cultivate the ground, and then let go.
Oh, God, Dad. Well, Dad, did you, I think you let me grow. I feel pretty grown. I'm definitely still growing, but what are you grateful for this week, Dad?
Well, I'm grateful for this conversation. I'm grateful that you brought me into a light of some of these awarenesses, and that you value my perspective on some of this. You know, the fact that, you know, and this would be another value that I'm wanting to extend to you the value of wanting to continue to be curious and keep learning, be a lifelong learner. I am grateful that I have raised a daughter with those values and with all the ones that I have said, and that you're interested enough to even sit for 3/4 of an hour like this and listen to what I have to say, and that you appreciate it in some way. And I am very grateful for that. How about you?
I think likewise, and I'm excited that, you know, having this girl who's going to be born in three months, I guess, that she's just going to be able to keep learning all of this wisdom, you know, and that, you know, she's got so much to learn from you, and, you know, to, that you can keep teaching all of this wisdom to the next generation. And, you know, that, you know, I get to learn about all of these values and things and reflect on them and talk to you about them. And, you know, especially as I kind of enter this, you know, becoming a parent myself and all of this too. So I'm just really grateful that, you know, I don't have to walk this alone, you know, and that I can, you know, reflect on all the supports that I have along the way, you know?
Yes, this is a great point. And the values came through from my parents, from their parents, and that this is intergenerational. Remember our grandparents. Mm. And yeah. Thank you for this time, my dear. I love you deeply. Very grateful for you, and I look forward to seeing you in just a few short days.
Absolutely. I cannot wait.
We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening in.
Be real.